Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm here with Rupal Panchal, and she's going to introduce herself because she's got a really long job title. Hi, Rupal.
I have. Hello. Thank you. So I am a senior therapist and operational lead and working at Midlands Partnership NHS Foundation Trust.
So, yeah, just give us an introduction to this and how you got into it.
I think I've got into it. I've been in IAPS since 2008, in fact, and so I've seen the growth, and I'm really passionate about the model, and I believe in the model. However, I think over the years, and having been a PWP as well, over the years there's lots of discussions around staff retention, particularly in the PWP role. And I think for me, it started to highlight what are the complaints that were coming through from, you know, the people, so for example, were leaving and leaving the role, not necessarily to kind of progress in their careers. And so for me, quite a while ago, actually, you know, I felt that it was important that we're talking about well-being. We are exposed to sometimes some really emotive discussions with our clients. And as a supervisor, you are there to protect your supervisee. And I kind of thought about it on a wider level, especially within my lead role, to think about that. And so that's kind of what inspired me to start thinking about it with my team.
So just for people who don't know what it's like to be an IAP therapist, in terms of workload, in terms of the sorts of people you work with, the stories that you hear, the kind of emotional impact that has on you, just give us a flavour of that.
So I always say that we have various hats, and so a clinician can be just a clinician and see 25 patients a week, for example. However, lots of clinicians develop in their skills and their competences, and so they go on to become supervisors, and they might be a supervisor of maybe two or three clinicians. They then develop in terms of a special interest. So we hear about lots of new initiatives and pathways that are coming up in IAPT and have done over the last 5 years, most recent one being the long-term health conditions. And so what happens is therapists then start to be involved in those pathways to make their service a success, and that adds another layer. So the layers keep adding, and I suppose what's happened more so over the last maybe 6 years is that people say, well, we don't have time for that. Where am I creating time? And that's where we need to be creative as to what do we need to almost not take away entirely, but what do we need to reduce in order to allow them time to then flourish in all of these different areas that we want IAPT to get to?
Well, I suppose people with a history of trauma often present in IAPT services. And you had a statistic in your slides where you were talking about trying to reduce the total trauma caseload to 20%, no more than 20%. Is that something you've implemented?
Absolutely. And it was implemented when I joined my current service, which was 4 years ago. And that was because the prevalence that of trauma within the geography is quite high. And when we treat trauma, we're often giving extra clinical time. You know, some clinicians are using an hour and a half to do that trauma-focused work. And so it can be quite intense. And I suppose what often comes up in supervision is kind of almost sometimes a feeling that they can actually feel the trauma that somebody's going through. And so it's really important to ensure that the therapist is having that opportunity to discuss those concerns and how they feel, which supervision does provide. However, if the prevalence is very high in the geography, your waiting list is likely to have lots of trauma on that waiting list as a presentation. And so you could easily be picking up six clients off the waiting list, and they might all be presenting with trauma. And you might already be in treatment with another four clinical presentations of trauma. Before you know it, your whole caseload is nearly trauma. And that's not safe practice to me. So that's where we kind of had a bit of a ballpoint figure, and we thought, let's try all 20%. And actually, that has worked incredibly well, as well as maintaining our waiting list as well.
We've blogged about burnout in health professionals quite a bit on the mental health. Most of the research that we've written about has been highlighting the problem. Burnout in consultants, in nurses, in dentists, in all sorts of different groups. How big is the problem in your view within your field?
That's a tough question. I think it is a problem. I think it's very much in vogue, as I said in my talk, across all industries. You're absolutely right. But I think with it, as IAPT has grown, and it's doing so many amazing things, and I think with that, our clinicians then are being kind of almost pulled in different directions. And I suppose without the support and without kind of the additional maybe training or kind of protection, that has created some kind of complaints, if you like, or people have moved on into different roles. That might be for career progression, but it also might be because they actually find it difficult to maintain that fast pace. And IAPT is fast pace. So I think that's kind of where we, within mental health, especially in primary care, are experiencing the difficulties. But there are solutions, and I do believe that.
And so those solutions, those preventative solutions, you know, keeping well-being high, how do you see that kind of getting rolled out? It seems like there's pockets of excellence where that's happening, but there seemed to be a lot of recognition of this when you were talking in the room, but have you had a sense of how people are prepared to take this on in senior positions?
I would love to see it being taken on and rolled out across. I mean, like I said, I mentioned it as it should be another KPI. How you assess that is another thing, but... Yeah, I agree with you, actually. And I was speaking to somebody in one of the breaks that it really does depend on that service. There's not one rule that fits all, and there can be learning from each other. And I suppose now that we are talking about it in forums like today, hopefully we can share that best practice of, well, this is what I implemented within my team and this really worked. And then other people can learn from that. And I hope that that can build a community of where we can talk about it. But we need to be talking about it on a bigger forum in order to help people to learn and implement those changes rather than ignore it.
That's great. Thanks for sticking around and joining us for the interview.
You're very welcome. Thank you.